Church family, would you turn with me to Psalm 142? Just open up right to the middle and turn backwards or forwards to Psalm 142. This morning, we're going to look at folks who like to hide from difficulty, which includes, I think, most every one of us, at least at times. Amen? Have you ever had a hardship? Nobody? Let's pray and go home. No difficulties in life, no hardships, no problems, right? Oh, my goodness. Daily things we are prepared to face, but those hardships that come along in the midst of the hardships just make it even tougher, doesn't it? I believe with all my heart that people are looking for a place of refuge. Maybe not always a place to hide, but you know, sometimes you just need a little rest. Amen? Have you ever gone away on a vacation and come back so tired you couldn't wait to get back to work? It happens, doesn't it? We run ourselves ragged. And folks, I believe this morning as we look at a chapter in King David's life that we're going to learn a few things from him that are going to help us. I believe that most of us are looking for a place of refuge. Even in the good times, we need that. We need a place where we can identify with the heartache that's going on in our hearts, the difficulties, the pain, the sorrow, sometimes even the loneliness right in the middle of everybody. You can be in the midst of a crowd and be so lonely that it hurts. David was looking for such a place at this time in his life. His enemies were out to get him. He needed a refuge. He needed some help. In 1 Samuel, you don't need to turn there, but it's going to be on the overhead. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, the scripture says, "So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam." Folks, as he was looking for a place to hide, you got to understand what was going on in David's life. To date, as we read about this, this was the lowest time in David's life. It was the most difficult time of his days, and he'd gone through some hardship. I want to kind of share with you what was going on. You may remember that David was a what? When he was a boy, he was a what? He was a shepherd, and the scripture says that he praised the Lord, that he depended on God. He killed the lion, he killed the bear, and in faith he faced these big things, and that he went before a giant by the name of Goliath, and he slew that giant with a stone guided by God that took the giant out. So he became very famous very quickly. You remember David's success after that. You recall that God had blessed him, and he went from the shepherd to the battle with Goliath. And after that, God blessed him even more, and he had victories in battle, victory after victory after crazy victory. And the women begin to sing songs about David. Do you remember? They sang about Saul. Saul had been the warrior that everybody praised before. But you remember at that time that the women began to sing that Saul had killed his thousands, but that David had slain the 10,000s. Well, don't you begin to think that Saul was ignoring all of this. Because here Saul was the king. You know, he was the man in charge. And now little David, the shepherd boy, was getting more attention than the king. David loved Saul. And he loved Saul's son, Jonathan. And with all his heart, he served the king. He served the Lord God. He was faithful to his king. But you know what? Saul was so jealous that he tried to kill David. Remember? Go back and read 1 Samuel, and you'll read the account of what's going on in the king's life here. And time and again, Saul said, "Oh, I won't kill you," and then he tried again. Boy, and David literally escaping by the skin of his teeth so many times. And Saul and his armies ran David down like an old mean rabid dog and kept him running so hard that David was absolutely exhausted. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to go. He never got any rest. He was constantly hounded, weary to the bone, no food, no friends, no nothing. And that's where we come to this scripture that says, "So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam." You want to know how David was feeling? I think we probably already know, but I think we can look to see. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? Psalm 142 is a record of David as he came before God. And if you read the little prehistory, it says, a plea for relief from persecutors, a contemplation of David, a prayer when he was in the what? In the cave. Listen to what David said. I cry out to the Lord with my voice, not just with his mind, not just from the heart, with his voice. David is in the cave alone and he's calling out loud to God. He said, with my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there's no one who acknowledges me. Nobody on his right. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for me. You see how we can kind of get dramatic when we get down? You think there's somebody who cared for David? Of course there was. He even had a great friend in Jonathan, the king's son. But when you get a little down, it's nobody cares. Can you see it? Y'all help me over here. This side went to sleep. Can you see it? David's just a little dramatic. David comes in and he says, nobody cares for me. Nobody cares. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteousness shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. Now this is David's call, and this is David's cry. Now, we know this, that all the Psalms are not in chronological order. If you don't know that, I'll just tell you that right now. They kind of take the Psalms and they get laid out. David didn't lay them out. Somebody behind him did. So they're not all in chronological order. So we're going to look at a progression that David had from the time he's going, nobody cares, to calling out to God and getting an answer from the Lord. Father, we ask and pray that you, Lord, there are times we feel like nobody cares. Even when there are, we get so down, we get so overstressed, we get so overwrought, Lord, that we feel nobody cares. Father, would you help us to see how you brought David through this and how you can do the same for us? And we ask God for your Holy Spirit's direction and strength and the ability to walk the walk, not just talk it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Constantly hounded, without food, knowing that he is worn to a frazzle, we know that David was in trouble. Nobody to talk to, he said. No promise to cling to. He had no hope that anything would ever change. No hope. He didn't know that there was going to be anybody who was going to come to his defense. He was alone in a cave. I'm telling you, folks, that is down in despair when you go hide in a cave far from anybody, away from anyone he knew, anyone he loved. And I wonder, have you ever been there when you thought, you know what? This is so down. This is so dark. I just want to give up. God, send some help. If you've not been there, praise the Lord. If you've been somewhere between there and where David is, then understand this, God is here for you. He was hidden away from everybody except God. God knew right where he was. God knew right where to find him. Now, does this sound like that confident king that was a man after God's own heart? Does this sound like David? Doesn't sound like David, does it? He's hiding away. What happened that changed this man who was hiding for his life into the man who was the bold servant of the Lord and turned into a man that Self-proclaimed, I know, but he said a man after God's own heart. David allowed God to reroute his heart and his life. That's what happened. What happened? He allowed God to reroute his heart. And you can see it in the Psalms in the different ways. From the time that he wrote in that cave, now I'm going to remind you again, it's not in chronological order, but in Psalms 142, he cried out to God and flat on his face, he said, nobody cares for me. Everybody's setting traps for me. And then you go back and look at a psalm he wrote a little later, and that is Psalm 57, and he's on his knees now, but at least he's looking up and he says, God, my soul takes refuge in thee, O Lord. And then the next psalm that we're going to come to on this is Psalm chapter 1, chapter 34, where he is standing before God. He went from flat on his face to on his knees with his hands raised, and then to standing with his arms raised up to God, and he said, I'm going to bless you, God, at all times. God, I'm going to praise you forever. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What took him to there? Let me share with you some of the secrets that God used to help David through. Because you see, everybody has cave experiences every now and then. Amen? Everybody does. But not everybody comes out as David did. Some people come out worse for the wear. Some a little better. It all depends on what? What you do with the experience in the cave. It all depends on what you do. And we learn from David those essentials. If you're in the cave, listen to this. If you're in the cave today, or if you're going to be in a cave, you find yourself in a cave, I hope you remember this, that if you're in the cave, don't just hide there. Use the experience to meet God. Here's what David did. First, in the midst of all of his trials, David did not lose sight of God. He called out to God. Instead, you know what David did? Instead of crawling in that cave and burying his head in the sand and just saying, I'm ready to die, he did what? He prayed. He called out to God. Folks, prayer is always a practical response. Always the practical response. Now, as we read through the Psalms, you know what we find? David certainly did his share of whining. Amen. Oh, man, that guy could give a tune to the minor refrain. Oh, God, I mean, he could let it go. And time after time, he whined out to God. But listen to this. At least he was whining to the right source. Amen. Sometimes people get tired of hearing it. But God will hear your prayer every time. David whined to God. He called out to God. And in these Psalms, we begin to catch a glimpse of what God saw in David as a shepherd boy. We begin to see what God saw in him, the qualities of his heart, and why God chose to anoint a little shepherd boy to become the next king. Why? Because David, no matter what happened, kept returning to God. He kept seeking the heart of God. So David prayed. Secondly, David believed God. David believed what God told him, and David trusted God. Right there in verse 6 of chapter 142, he said there, let's read it again. He said, attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. David called out to God. Here's the thing. There are many people who believe that God can save them from their sin. Let me ask you this. In your heart, do you believe that God can save you from your sin? I pray and hope that you do. Here's the problem. So many people believe that God will save them from their sin, but they don't believe that God will save them from their circumstances. How is it that God could save a dirty, sinful soul like this, but not care about what happens to me? God does care. And what you go through might bring you through the fire. But God will bring you through at one point or another. It doesn't always happen on this side of life. Amen. But God will bring us through. David believed and trusted God. Unfortunately, few people believe that God can save them from their situation. But David knew that God could and God would intervene. Secondly, David admitted his need to God. He didn't just pray, but he admitted his need. You know, I have this terrible habit. Like when I go to the doctor or when I go, for something going on, I've got this list and I'm going to tell the doctor, you know, I'm having trouble with this, I'm having trouble with this, I'm having trouble with this. And then when I get there, the doctor does all this stuff and I'm walking out and I'm getting in the car and I go, I forgot to ask him about this. Am I the only one who does that? Yeah, okay. Thanks. Love my congregation. I tell you, you know what I always know? I know you're going to give me the truth, all right? As you know, that's what I'm going to do. But I've been before the doctor, and I thought, man, here I am with the person that can help me, and I forget to make my request to go, you know, I'm having a little problem with this, or I'm having a little problem. Why in the world would we ever go to God and just whine, and just whine, and just whine, and not say, God, what I need, and God, what I feel is best for me is this? And then turn it over to God to say, God, would you please do something about it? Don't just cry. Cry out and ask God for the help. He said, when you're hurting, God said, call to me. God said, turn to me. And when you're hurting, you need to tell someone about it. And not just your brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, tell the Lord what's going on. Psalms 142 verse 2 says, I pour out my complaint to you. I tell you my trouble. He had no trouble doing this. Now let me ask you, did David give a long whine? Of course he did. He's famous for it. Was it too much? No. If you're going to whine, make sure you take it to the Lord. It was the right place to empty his heart. Amen? David did not just hold it in, but instead he called out to God. He cried out to God for help. Psalms chapter 57 is a parallel to 142, but he begins to look up a little more. David cried out, and in Psalms 57, 2, he said, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He knew from whence his help came. It came from God. David knew he was powerless to do anything on his own. He couldn't do anything on his own. But turning his heart towards God, he was brought to a place where God could begin to shape him. You know, if you're not in the hands of God, how can God mold you? If you're not willing to let God push and pull a little here and there, how can God get you where he wants you to be? God allowed David to run. Now, people say, well, God caused it. God didn't cause it, but God did allow it. Why did God allow it? Because God knew that David needed some honing. He needed some sharpening. And God allowed David to run until he was weary. He allowed David to run until he was overwrought. He allowed him to run until he was literally thinking that his life was over. If he was caught, David's life was done. His enemies would have taken his life. David knew this, and yet God allowed it. We've got to remember this. If you don't remember anything else about today, would you remember this? When God brings us to nothing, it's not to end our life, but it's to reroute them. God brings us to the end of ourself so that we can come to the beginning of God. You can't really come to the beginning of God and what God can do until you get to the point to say, I can't, but God can. When you come to the end of yourself, then you can come to the beginning of God. Notice this. David asked for help. He was very specific. He said, God, this is what I want you to do. And again, in dramatic portion, as we go through the Psalms and read the Psalms, how many times did David say, God, I want you to grab my enemies and I want you to thrash him around. I want you to slay him. I want you to take him out. He was not real kind when he talked about some of his enemies. Well, we're reminded, folks, if you go back and read Ephesians chapter 6, the Word of God says that we are battling not against flesh, but against what? Against the principalities of darkness. So who is our enemy? The person at work who's causing us problems? Who's our enemy? The one at home that's giving us trouble? Who's our enemy? The guy down the street that's taking pot shots at you and your yard and your kids and whatever else? Absolutely not. The scripture says that our enemy is Satan. He's the enemy. And I don't think I have any problem with saying, God, you just swat him into the backside of eternity. Amen? We call out and say, God, we need your help. God, we want your help. David asked for help. You know, we live under such a veneer at times and for so long that it's hard to open up. As a matter of fact, are we not a people that are trained not to let people see our vulnerability? Not to let them see our vulnerability at work, not to see our vulnerability on the field, not to see our vulnerability in the home. And it starts at an early age. I did it. My boys, 5 years old, T-ball. You ready? T-ball. Whack. They get a hit. They're running to first. They trip over first base. They skin their knee, and they're out there going, ah! And what do I say? Rub dirt on it and go on. Oh, don't you laugh. You did it too. Just rub dirt on it. Don't cry. So at a very early age, we teach them, you know, don't show your emotions. Don't show your hurt. Now, I know that to a point, what we're trying to do, we're trying to tough them up a little bit. But we take it so far that when we get to adults and we trip over life's hurts and pains and difficulties, and they are deep hurts, and we're just saying, just rub dirt on it. Is that what God wants us to do? David asked for help. Why is it so hard for us to ask for help? One word, right? Pride. That's right. Did you know that pride is listed among those few things in the Word of God that God hates? Whoa. That is a stiff word, hates. God hates pride. Why does God hate pride so much? Because it keeps us from turning to Him. God hates pride. We don't know how sometimes to cry out for help. Well, can I suggest to you that you just start by asking, that you just start by turning to God and say, God, would you help me to call out to you? God will honor that prayer. He really will. We're trained to do everything except admit our need. David admitted that he was helpless and that he needed help. And I believe with all my heart that God honors such vulnerability because God began to answer his prayer shortly after he prayed these things. He did then. Hello? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God answered his prayers then under these circumstances, guess what? He still answers them today. He still answers them today. One more thing. Can we do one more? David was humble enough to realize he was in a state that he needed to learn from God. David learned from God while he was in that cave. You know, the real tragedy is not that we have difficult circumstances in our life. Everybody has them. Everybody has those cave-dwelling experiences. And the tragedy is not that we have difficult circumstances, nor that they even drive us to a cave at times. The tragedy, folks, is that we never learn from our experiences and that we never draw closer to God because of them. Do you realize that spiritual warfare is all about one thing, and that is drawing you closer to God, making you more like God, sharpening your skills so that you can be a stronger soldier for Christ? That's what they're about. If we never learn from our experiences, God has to take us through the same thing again and again until we begin to learn. Not so with David. You got to love David's humility here, folks. If he had to hide out in a cave, at least he did something with it. Amen? He did something with it. David turned that cave into a training ground for his future. He let God work on his heart. And because he turned it over to God, and because he got to the point where, yes, he was flat on his face, yes, he was on his knees, but then he was finally standing with his hands raised before God, saying, God, you're worth it all. And because he got there, God began to send people to David. 400 men came to David. So first he had victory for himself, and then when he got in a situation where he could actually begin to be a leader, God began to send men to him. And he started practicing godly leadership. All because he didn't stay on his face. He didn't stay down. But he turned his heart and his eyes to God. Since the beginning of time, dear friends, since the very beginning of time, people have moved from trial to trial, from difficulty to difficulty, from cave to cave, if you will, without seeking what God has them to learn from their circumstances. Why in the world would God allow us to get somewhere without a purpose? God's not vindictive. God's not a mean God that he just says, I just want to see how much they can take. No. It's all for the reason to say, I want them to draw closer to me. I want them to see that I can take them through this. When God is working in your heart and your life, the toughness that surrounds you can actually toughen you. And for some reason, many people, when the going gets tough, they get up and leave, and they go to greener pastures. It happens with pastors, friends. Pastors will run from pulpit to pulpit to pulpit, never learning maturity. Did you know that the average tenure of a pastor is less than 2 years? Sometimes pastors run. Sometimes members run. Things get a little tough in the church, so they just run to a different church. And it's not that things are better there. They just don't know about the trouble. Amen? Husbands and wives run from marriage to marriage. Kids run from home. People run from job to job instead of learning and growing. You know, it's a fact. Sometimes we need someone to tell us our faults. Amen. I mean, the scripture says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the scripture says that there are times that we need to admonish our Christian friends that they need to do something different than what they're doing. We need to tell them to call on God, or we need to call them out on their sin. But sometimes the last thing we need is a critic. Sometimes. Oh, I know. Sometimes we need them. We need our friends who will call us on our junk. But sometimes the last thing we need is somebody that'll criticize us when we really haven't done anything wrong. When we're just down, when things are going on, when we're so hurt we don't know what to do. I am so thankful that the Lord our God knows when this time is. Amen? He knows when it's not time to be a critic. He knows when it's not time to say, wake up and do better. But he knows when it's time to say, look, just crawl in your daddy's lap. Let me hug on you for a while. Oh, man, what a difference that makes. Just to be hugged up by the Lord our God. And sometimes from our families. We just need that. We need a refuge at times to find encouragement. We need a place to hide and heal. We need a willing, caring someone to be a confidant and pray with us and to pray for us. We need a friend in times of trouble. We need a comrade at arms. And dear friends, that's exactly what the church is supposed to be. Hello? That's exactly what you are supposed to be. That's what you are supposed to be. You are to be those ones that will comfort those who are going through the hard times. Yes, they might need a little admonishment, but sometimes what they need first and foremost is some encouragement and some love and some care. Is that what we do? Now remember this, friends. The church is not your ultimate refuge, but God is. We're supposed to be the arms and the hands of God, loving folks back to the Lord. But you remember this. People are not your refuge. God is your ultimate refuge, and God is your ultimate strength. Maybe it's time for you to share David's shelter. Amen? Anybody going through a tough time? Anybody going through a little bit of a hard time? And if you're not going through a hard time, get ready. It's coming. Right? David may have hid in a cave. And he did. But you know what's cool? He also hid in a person. He hid in his Lord. He hid in God. And like David, you can run to God as well. God will hear your cry. He ran to the one who is the rock of our salvation. Amen. He ran to the one who is our mighty fortress. He ran to the one who is our high tower. He ran to the one who is our refuge. He ran to the one who is our strength. And he's still here today. Will you call on him? Will you ask him for help? Will you pray? Will you turn your heart to the Lord? His name is Jesus, and he's still available, especially for those who are hiding in the cave. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for your presence. And all God's people said, thank you, Lord. God, we are so thankful for your love. A love, Lord, that will look down when we really need the encouragement, and you will encourage us. And we know, God, that your Holy Spirit is the one who grabs our heart and makes us repentant when we've done wrong. But, oh God, we're so thankful that you are a God of grace, that you are a God of love, that you are a God of restoration, that you are a God of forgiveness. And when we need it, Father, you are always there. You never leave us. You never fail us. Help us, God, to turn to you, even in the good times, but especially in the difficult ones. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are able. God, that you reach down to us cave dwellers and you love on us when we need it the most. Thank you, God, that you are love.